There is no substitute for obedience. Y'all need to get that down in your minds. You need to get down the fact that we trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's what the old song says, and that's really what it is. You've got to trust and obey. I really feel like what the Lord wants me to do is just start through this Gospel of John. I'm sure I won't go very far in it, but as I wrestled around trying to find God for the weekend, what the Lord would have me to do, He brought me to the Gospel of John. I think about John when he wrote this book. He was an old man. Most think that this was written around 90 A.D. That he was an old man. He'd come down towards the end. And I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I put a lot of stock in what old Christians think and say. They've been down the road, they've seen things in the past, and I put a lot of stock in what they say. And so here is an old man, and he's going to write a letter. He's writing a gospel, and he's going to give us his perspective. Here's what I think. I think he's going to tell us what he thinks is important. When I have read John chapter 1, no telling how many times in my life, and I just read through it and I don't grasp it. But this is an old man getting ready to depart from this life, and he's going to talk about some things that he thinks is important. And I can't help but give you just a few things. John's a little different than the other Gospels. We call Matthew, Mark, and Luke the Synoptic Gospels. John's different. They're more historical, and John's more on the divine side, if I could say it that way. And as we start through the door of the book of John, we start to walk through the book, and we enter the door. Up over the door in my mind is verse number 12. This verse just kind of stays with you. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I'd just like to stop and think about that verse, and I know what I'm saying, and I know the crowd I'm preaching to. And John, just right off the bat, he says this: but as many as received them, to them gave he power. Now, here's something to think about. When we got saved, we were empowered to become sons of God. That's something to think about. If you're here this morning and you're on your way to hell, if you'll receive him, he can give you power to become part of the family of God. That's a powerful statement. I guess I'm getting way ahead of myself when I say that. I wanted to say so many things about John. There's 8 miracles in John. 20 miracles in Matthew's gospel, 18 in Mark, 20 in Luke, 8 in John. Now I want you to listen to what these are. Water into wine. The nobleman's son is healed. The paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. The feeding of 5,000. The walking on the water. Sight to the blind. Lazarus raised from the dead. The miraculous draw to fishes. And if you study all of those miracles, they all carry the idea of supernatural transformation. a change. Water into wine, sadness to gladness. The nobleman's son healed disease to health. The paralytic paralysis to being energized enough to walk. The 5,000 hungry to fullness. Walking on the water, agitation to tranquility. And we could get darkness, sight to the blind, darkness to light. Lazarus raised from the dead, death to life. The miraculous drought of fishes, failure to success. All transforming miracles. If you look at them that way, we serve a transforming God. If you're here this morning, I don't know how I'm going to preach this text. I told the Lord this is Sunday school lesson, and that's what you want, I'll give it. But if you're here this morning and you're a sinner and you're lost, He can transform your life. He can change you from what you are to a son of God. He did me. Many of you, He's done the same thing. John, he leaves out all about the Lord's birth and His baptism and His temptations and His transfiguration, His ascension. He doesn't deal with those things, but he deals with faith. He deals with putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know quickly he goes to the last week of Jesus' life, John chapter 12. He's 6 days before the Passover, before he's going to be the Passover lamb. I understand that. And I want you to just notice a few little things. I really just want to start reading about in him was life. I just want to start there, but and maybe I should, but I'd just like to say a few little things to you. If you're here and you're unsaved, He can change your life forever. He can transform your life. He is life. In Him was life. He has life. If I were to say to you, I've got something you can live forever, man, you'd say, give it to me. I want that. Well, I do have that. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Let me try to preach to you or share with you what I think the Lord has put on my heart and has given me. I've spent much time in the first few verses. The Bible says, and keep in mind, here's the old man. John is an old man, and he's not going to be around long. He's soon going to be gone, and he's going to say some things that's important to him to say. Can I say what he focuses on first and foremost? He focuses on Jesus. Jesus is his subject. When he starts to talk, he doesn't waste any time. In the beginning was the Word. I mean, he doesn't introduce it. He doesn't get up and try to get background. The old man sits down with pen and paper, and he immediately goes to Jesus. Might be a good lesson for some of us. Very well could be. He says this in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who is the Word? I mean, you Bible students know, but maybe some of these kids, if you've never been in church much, maybe you don't know, but who is the Word he's talking about? Notice verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. I've never given this much thought till this week, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. That's what he was full of. When John speaks of the Word, he's speaking of Jesus. Why would that be? I feel like I'm teaching primary Sunday school this morning, telling you things, and I hope I don't insult your spiritual intelligence. But he calls Jesus the Word, and why would that be? Why would he call Jesus the Word? Well, let's just stop and just think just from a common sense standpoint. Words are the tools or instruments that we use to communicate with. We take words and what's in us that we want somebody else to know, we take words and say, put those words together, make sentences and paragraphs and statements, however you want to say it, and within those statements, they form concepts and ideas and truths that the reason we throw out those words is so other people can understand what we want them to know. John called Jesus the Word, and I think you know where I'm headed. Jesus is God's means of communicating what his truths, his concepts, his ideas, his thoughts. Jesus is the tool, the instrument that he's going to use to convey to us what's in his heart and in his mind and what he wants us to grasp that he already knows. Jesus is God's means of communicating his thoughts and truths to man. Through Jesus, God reveals spiritual truth to us. Now, Jesus is the incarnate Word. This is the written Word. And let me just say this. Jesus and this Bible, this King James Bible, they will not deviate one iota. What this Bible says is what Jesus would say if he was here. Amen. I want you to turn with me and we'll turn back. Just hold your place. I just want to read one verse to you. Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 1 of chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2 is what I want you to really listen to, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. By his Son. In the last days, how does God speak to us? By his Son, through his Word. I know y'all know that. I could turn, and I probably will. You don't have to. Let me just read a verse or two to you in John's Gospel. He's gonna deal with this a little later on. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 26, he says this, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Jesus said, I speak to the world those things that I've heard of the Father. What he said because he's heard it from the Father. Let me read just another verse or two. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Jesus said this, what the Father taught me, I speak those things. When he told Nicodemus, you must be born again, that's because he got that from the Father. Now, I know they're all knowing when you start talking about God and the Trinity. I know it gets fuzzy. But the fact of the matter is, that's what Jesus said. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Let me read just one more before I go back to the chapter number 1. Chapter 12. I want to read verse 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. He was under commandment from the Father if what the Bible says is so, and it is so. Verse 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And so here Jesus comes to earth, and he has speech that he wants to give. But really what he's saying is what the Father wants to say to you and I. John was aware of that. That's why he called him the Word. In the beginning was the Word. No doubt there was some confusion about who Jesus was. We're in the second generation from Jesus' life. He died around 30 AD, 33, somewhere in there. And this is about 60 years later. And I guess there's all sorts of things starting to float around. Aren't you glad we have the Word of God? Can you imagine how messed up we would be if we didn't have a Bible? I mean, folks saying everything. Even with a Bible, many of God's people stay messed up. But I'm glad I've got a Bible to tell me what God thinks about situations and about things of life. And so John is saying he was the Word. He was God's tool to communicate to man what needs to be said. And he goes on and he says that he was in the beginning. He was in the beginning. I started trying to figure out which beginning. What beginning are we talking about? He was in the beginning. And it was as if the Holy Ghost said to me, it doesn't matter what beginning. The beginning of beginnings, he was in the beginning. I mean, pick any beginning you want to pick, and he was there. The Son is eternal. My, sometimes we make so much out of something that doesn't amount to anything. In the beginning, he was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And I've got all, I could just, John 17 and 5, and thou, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Where was he way back then? He was with the Father. That's where he was. John 8 and 58, before Abraham was, I am. He's always been. Hey, can I say Jesus is no Johnny come lately? He's no novice. He's no beginning. He's always been. And then the Word was God. He was with God, but he was God. God is one God in plurality. Isn't that something to think about? Say, preacher, I can't understand it. I can't either. Fact of the matter is, if we could understand God, I don't know what kind of God we would have. We can't even understand ourselves, if you want the truth of the matter. The Word was God. I've got verses. Behold, let me just read a few of them. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Well, that's what the Bible says. He's the Mighty God. Here's John, an old man, and he's soon going to be gone. And he says, hey, I'm going to tell you about the Word before I go. That's what's important to him, is the Word. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That little Virgin Mary, when she birthed that little baby Jesus, can I say that was God wrapped up in flesh? He was God. Jesus is God. Amen. On and on. Hebrews 1:8, but under the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Religion say everything about Jesus. There's a religion right up the road that says Jesus was a brother to Satan. That's a lie. That's a lie out of hell. That's right. It's documented. I can tell you the denomination. You can go online, read their articles of faith, and that's what it says, but that's not right. John, he wastes no time identifying Jesus. He says he was in the beginning, and he was the tool that God used to communicate to us, and he was with God, and he was God. And then he goes to verse number 2, and he says the same was in the beginning with God, as if he wants to restate that. He wants to make that truth clear. And then in verse number 3, he says this about Jesus. He says he was the Creator God. Notice what it says. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He made all things. Jesus was the Creator. Now, we could say much about creation. I don't know much about these stars and planets and galaxies, but I did pick this up, and if you know it to be not correct, you can correct me later. But they measure creation in light years, how far light travels in 1 year. Now, light travels, let me get this down, 186,273 miles per second. 186,000 miles a second. That's going pretty fast. In a year, light travels, let me see, I wrote it down, 6 trillion miles. I know you can't grasp it, I can't either. 6 trillion miles. It's going to give you just our galaxy. Just our galaxy. There's a multitude of galaxies. But just our galaxy, the diameter of our galaxy is 100,000 light years in diameter. That means if light left here today going at 186,000 miles an hour plus a few, that in 100,000 years, it would get back to us if it circled our galaxy. Now, we've got a pretty big galaxy. Can I tell you, he just created it all. That's my God. That's my Savior. I mean, 100,000 light years in diameter, and he just spoke it into existence. What a God. What a God we have. Let me just tell you a few other things. There's a star, and I probably won't pronounce this right. There's a star in another galaxy. I believe it's another galaxy called Antares. It could hold 64 million of our suns. 64 million of our suns could fit inside that star. That's how big that star is. My God created that. And then there's a constellation, it says here, the Hercules constellation holds a star that would hold 100 million Antares. I mean, that's just blows your mind how big this thing is. And can I say, our Creator God, the Word, just spoke it into existence. We look up there and the sun, moon's hanging on nothing. That ain't nothing. I mean, these planets that could house 100,000 of our suns, or a star, rather, it said, what I read said. I'm telling you, folks, we don't know how powerful our God is. We can't get a hold how powerful He is. Then we ask Him for something and believe He can't do it. Here's what we learned from John. He made everything. It wasn't he made 95% and somebody else made the other 5. He made everything. You know what else that says? That says evolution's a false hypothesis. That's what it says. There's no truth to evolution. You talk to people that know science, they say it's not even science. It's just a hypothesis. It's just a possibility. A theory, that's a good word. Just a theory. It's not scientific. Fact of the matter, it's a false statement. And then it says He's all powerful. When He said all power is given to me in heaven and earth, we read that and just ho-hum about it. But man, what kind of power do you have when you can speak the creation into existence that exists that we have just in our little galaxy? John says this, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And my, we could talk about the Trinity for a little while, and I've got some notes on it. But I want to go to verse 4. This is really the burden on my heart. There may be somebody in here that needs life. In John 3, there was a church-going man that needed life. In John 4, there's no wicked sinner woman that needed life. In John 5, there was a helpless, hopeless individual. He said, I don't have anybody to help me. And he needed life. There may be somebody here today that needs life. Verse 4, you want to live forever. Now, here's what I used to say. We're all going to live forever. Some in heaven, some in hell. We might all going to exist, but in hell, you're going to die forever. It's the second death. It's an eternal death for you. You're not going to live forever. You're going to exist forever, but you're going to exist in death. You can get a hold of that however you want to, but if you want life, there's one source of true life. That's how it is, Brother Bud, and I know where it's at. I found it. No, He found me one day. Amen. Let me let me see, life is mentioned in John 44 times. Light, life and light. Notice how it reads, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light has to do with knowing. Life has to do with showing or behavior, if you want to think of it like that. John is concerned with spiritual, eternal, everlasting life. And if you're here this morning, I want to just say this little simple truth to you. If you ever get or obtain or are given everlasting life, it's going to come from one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do good works and get everlasting life. You can't be baptized and get everlasting life. You can't join the church and have everlasting life. You can't enter the confessional booth and confess up and have everlasting life. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what John says about the Word. The Word is who? Jesus. And here's what he says. In him was life. Not in an organization. Not in an activity. Not in a membership, but in him. Him. In him is life. And the life was the light of men. Here's what I think I need to do this morning. I just need to read to you some verses on life. Now here's what you may be thinking. I have life. No, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. Let me just say this. You're a walking dead man or dead woman. You have a death sentence on you. Without Jesus, you don't have eternal life, everlasting life. Let me just read these. I truly feel like that's what the Lord wants me to do, and I'll be through this morning. I want you to follow John chapter 3, verse number 15. I will read verse 14. These are so familiar, these little primary students in Sister Sharon's Sunday school class may know this verse. But can I tell you, there's a multitude of people stumbling over it, falling into hell, maybe as I speak this morning. Maybe as I speak. Here's what it says, that whosoever believeth in him, who is him? Jesus. That's exactly right. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, here's who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. We've made that clear. He's from God. Here's what the Bible says. If you believe that, he came to earth to communicate to us, and he says this, you must be born again. And if you believe that, if you believe that he went to Calvary and he hung on the cross in your place and took your punishment, and you will turn and you believe he gave his life. The wages of sin is death. Gave his life. And on the third day rose again. Do you believe that? I mean, if you're here and lost, do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe he's sinless? Here's what it says. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, we're saved by faith, by believing. Now understand, we have to turn from sin towards him. I understand that. We call that repentance. I understand God has to convict. I understand that. But it takes faith to be saved. You have to believe that Jesus, what he did on Calvary, paying your sin penalty, satisfied a holy God. And if you'll put faith in that and call on him, he'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I do believe you have to call on him. I've wrestled that around. Some people said, when I stood up, I say. I believe you have not because you ask not. We receive by asking. I believe it's right to call on him. I did experimentally, but that doesn't mean anything. Everybody's salvation's a little different. Do you believe that? Do you believe what the Bible said? I mean, really, I'm talking to you sinners. Do you believe what the Bible says? It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Do you believe he's the Savior of the world? If you'll put faith in that, he'll save you. That's what the Bible says. Let me read it to you so I won't mess up one word of it. For by grace are you saved through faith. What's faith? That's believing. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then it goes on and says this. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I've got to do this to be saved. No, it's not of works. It's by faith. It's faith. Let me just read on. If I'm not careful, I'm really probably already. John 3 and verse 36. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Is that the Bible? Did I misquote that? Or is that what the Bible says? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Let's go on just a little farther. John chapter 4 and verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He gives everlasting life. He is life. John's concerned about this life. He's concerned about life, eternal life. Chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting. He that does what? And believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That verse says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. He and the Father are one. I don't want to start analyzing. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He has life. He wants to give it to you. That's why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me go on, give you just a few more. Look at verse 40 of chapter 5. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You want life? Come to the Father. Come to the Son and the Father. Chapter 6. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. My, we could just go on and on and on reading. Maybe I ought to. Let me give you a few more. Verse 35 of John 6, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. My, truths from the word of God. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. Verse 63, on and on. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Let me just give you some more. John 8, chapter 8, verse 12. John 10, verse 10. Verse 20. John 10, verse 28. John 11, verse 25. John 14, verse 6. John 17, verses 2 and 3. I want to read one more to you this morning. I want you to turn to John chapter 20. I'm going to give you one verse and I'm going to be through this morning. Verse 31. But these are written. Let me read verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John knew he was leaving things out. The reason he left things out, he's concerned about the spiritual matters more than documenting the historical works of Jesus. We come to verse 31, he says this, but these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. I've probably not done a very good job this morning of conveying my burden to you. But my burden is this: if you don't have life, you can have life. And life is in a person. Eternal life is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's dealt with your heart and showed you that you need to be saved. I'll never forget when he was dealing with me. He would come to me at night when things would get still and say to me, the Holy Ghost would in my heart, no verbal voice, no kind of anything like that, but in my heart he would say to me, you need to be saved. If you died, you're going to hell. Where would you go if you died? I mean, if the Holy Ghost spoke to you, what would he say if you died? He said to me, if you died, I'd made a profession. 3 years, I went back and saw the date on that first. Mama wrote all that stuff down, and it's like 2 or 3 years. Can't remember now, but I believe it's 3 years. I'd made a false profession. For 3 years, if I had died after making that profession, I would have went to hell. I was not truly saved. But the Holy Ghost came to me, and he began to speak to my heart. We call that conviction. You know that. I believe in Holy Ghost conviction. I believe it. As sure as I'm standing here, it takes God. It takes God to save a man. But if God's been dealing with your heart, and the devil tell you everything, you can't live it. You can't live it. You won't fit in with that crowd. You're making a mistake. Put it off. Wait till a better time. On and on and on. He'll just make excuses for you why you ought not get eternal life. Are you saved today? I'm talking about being saved from the power and the penalty of sin. Are you saved? If you were to die, are you going to hell? Are you going to a place of eternal death? You don't have to go. Can I say God doesn't want you to go? That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he came. Well, I just can't live it. No, but he can live it through you. That's right. He can help you. Are you saved? Would you just be honest with yourself? Would you just reason? I mean, if I said I've got eternal life, you can live forever if you'll take this pill, and I'm selling it for $100,000. And if you had $100,000, you'd pay it to live forever. But can I tell you, it's a free gift. It's already been paid for at Calvary. But you have to believe. You have to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on Calvary. And his death and his resurrection. Are you willing to trust him? And if you'll call on him in faith believing, he'll save you. He'll save you. For whosoever. Is that Romans 10:13? 10:13. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe if you call on him, he'll save you? He said he would. Now here's what I didn't know when we started this morning. I didn't know Alan's going to talk about giving your life to the Lord. And I didn't know things was going to move in the salvation realm. But maybe God did. Not maybe, God did know. And he put that on me, and I said, Lord, just a Sunday school lesson, that's all it is. You know what I really think after I started preaching? I thank God speaking to somebody who's lost this morning. Don't go to hell. Listen to the preacher. Whatever you have to do, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. If your pride's in the way, lay it aside. Don't go to hell. That's what the devil wants. And when you get in hell, he'll be laughing at you. What a fool, he'll say. And he'll laugh and mock and make light of you. Don't go to hell. Whatever you do, don't go to hell. Let the Savior save you. If he's dealing with your heart, would you come this morning? He has life. He has power. He has power. Let me read it to you. I'll mess that verse up, sure as the world. If you go back to our text, talks about everyone that receives him, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you believe? If you'll call on him in faith, believing, there'll be something happen to you you can't explain. You'll be transformed. You'll be changed. You'll be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And you won't know how, you won't be able to figure it out, but he just empowers you to be one of God's children. Would you like to be saved today? That's what John was talking, the old man. Here's the old man. He could have talked about anything. But he said, I'm going to tell you about the Word, about God communicating to man. You need to be saved if you're lost. Don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. I beg you not to go to hell. Don't reject Jesus. If he's speaking to your heart, would you accept him today? Grace, if you'd just come to the piano. just play quietly. Now, here's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to stand you to your feet because it'd be easier for you to walk. I'm not a gimmick guy. I'm not trying to play games with you. I'm just saying, if God's dealt with your heart, would you come and let him save your soul and keep you out of that awful place called hell? While she plays, heads bowed and eyes closed, God's people praying, would you be saved today? Don't go to hell. Listening to preacher, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Whatever it takes, your life, if it takes laying your pride aside, if it takes losing a friend, if it takes whatever it takes, my, if you'll just come and let him save you today. You don't even have to come. He'll save you at your seat. Would you be saved?